While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let us pray. Lord, at this your last supper, as you fed us with the gift of yourself, you gave us a new commandment that we love one another as you have loved us. As you approached your death, your last command was that we would grow in our capacity to love. Lord, to do this, we need your help. We need help to love the family members who push all our buttons. We need help to love that coworker who gets on our nerves. We need help to love our enemies and those who seek our ruin. But most of all, Lord, we need help to love ourselves. Like those first disciples, we grasp at love, struggling to accept its demands. We give lip service to sacrifice and are too often satisfied with shallow intimacy. Fortunately for all, you fulfilled love's demands. Through the gift of yourself, you have given us all the love we will ever need. Lord of all people, as we prepare for this meal, remind us once again of your merciful acts that reveal the nature of your love. Remind us that you seek and save the lost and delight in the wayward soul who is found. Teach us that what you require is mercy, not sacrifice. Show us that you call the broken to become children of God. Lord, now by the power of your Holy Spirit, transform this bread and cup into a feast where all who eat and drink of it at your invitation taste the satisfying fullness of your grace and the freeing joy of true discipleship. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ for the world, a world in need of more people committed to love. As your disciples, lead us to live as love demands, without judgment, hatred, or fear. God of grace, hear this prayer, the silent prayers of our hearts, and the prayer Jesus taught us was enough, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus sat at table with his disciples, and he took bread. After giving thanks for it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
The same way he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." Friends, whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup together, we proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, all is ready.
Our second reading this evening continues Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Each year on Ash Wednesday, we begin the season of Lent by thinking about sin and death. We gather at night in this sanctuary, and we remember that no matter how hard we try, we are all guilty of all manner of sins, both individual and corporate. We remember that from dust we came, and to dust we shall return. With the sign of the cross on our foreheads, we remember that sin and death are intimately bound together. During Lent this year, I spoke at one of the Wednesday Lenten services held at St. Paul's Episcopal Church. The topic of the services this year was the Psalms. I chose to talk about Psalm 51, a psalm often read on Ash Wednesday because of its focus on sin and the psalmist's longing for God's forgiveness. It seemed to me a perfect fit for a Lenten series, but when I finished my talk, the minister of St. Paul's raised his hand to ask a question. "That was interesting," he said, "but do you Presbyterians always talk this much about sin?" By the time we finally get to Thursday of Holy Week, also known as Maundy Thursday, I imagine all of us would really like to talk about anything but sin. After all, we know that no matter what we do today, tomorrow, the so-called Good Friday, is going to come. Our sin, and by that I mean humanity's collective, combined, undeniable brokenness, is rushing like an avalanche down a steep slope and will not stop until it piles up into an enormous mountain, on the top of which is the cross. Maybe this is why on Maundy Thursday we usually get off the subject of sin altogether and move on to love. Usually we read the Gospel of John, where the most significant part of Jesus' Last Supper with his friends is after the meal, when he stoops down and washes the dust off their feet. Then he gives them a new commandment, to love one another as he has loved them, meaning to love one another in a spirit of humility and self-sacrifice, as he did by washing their feet, even the feet of Judas, the one who would betray him. The sinner who, if we're keeping track, and let's be honest, we're always keeping track, is the worst sinner of all. But in Matthew's gospel, which we are reading tonight, there is no foot washing, and Judas isn't the only betrayer. "You will all become deserters of me this night," Jesus tells his friends. It was not what they wanted to hear, any more than they wanted to hear his repeated predictions that he had to go to Jerusalem, be betrayed, suffer, die, and after 3 days be raised from the dead. That was hard enough to get their heads around, but how could it possibly be that they were the ones who would betray him? It was almost too much to bear. Except it appears that it could not possibly happen any other way. "You will all become deserters because of me this night," Jesus says, not that they will become deserters of him. They will become deserters because of him. This is what has to happen, Jesus seems to be saying, just as he has told them over and over that he has to die, that this is the way the events have to play out. Now he seems to say that their betrayal is necessary too. Well, the question I have is why? Why does it have to be this way? Why were things so messed up that when God came to be with us as one of us, his own friends had to betray him. Unfortunately, I have no good answer to that question, except that when we enter into these events of Holy Week, we recognize a deep truth to what happened. God did not find 12 exceptional people and send Jesus to choose them as his disciples so they could set a gold standard for the rest of us to try to live up to. In Jesus, God simply came to be with human beings who were just like us. And just like the first disciples, we are all deserters. We are all broken. Every one of us hurts the people we love. We turn away from people who need our help. We shield our eyes and our minds from the suffering of strangers, even though we know they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We all desert Jesus 100 times a day. Why does it have to be this way? Because that's the way it is. The world is broken. We are broken. We know that. And we desperately hope that God knows it too and is doing something about it. Mary Ann Byrd could not deny her brokenness. She was born with multiple birth defects, deaf in one ear, cleft palate, crooked nose, lopsided feet. As a child, she suffered not only from these physical challenges, but also from the emotional damage inflicted by other children. Mary Ann, her classmates would taunt, "What happened to your lip?" "I cut it on a piece of glass," she would lie. But the worst day of school every year was the day of the hearing test. The teacher would call each child up to her desk, and the child would cover first one ear and then another. The teacher would whisper something like, "The sky is blue," or "You have new shoes." This was the whisper test. If the teacher's phrase was heard correctly and repeated, the child passed the test. To avoid the humiliation of failure, Mary Ann would always cheat, secretly cupping instead of covering her one good ear so she could hear what the teacher said. One year, Mary Ann was in the class of Miss Leonard, one of the most beloved teachers in the school. Every student wanted to be noticed by her, wanted to be special to her. On the day of the dreaded hearing test, Mary Ann was called up to Miss Leonard's desk. She subtly cupped her hand over her good ear, and Miss Leonard leaned forward to whisper. "I waited for those words," Mary Ann wrote later in her memoir, "words God must have put into her mouth, those 7 words that changed my life." Miss Leonard did not say, "The sky is blue," or "You have new shoes." What she whispered into the one good ear of that broken, ashamed child was, "I wish you were my little girl." The Catholic priest and writer Richard Rohr says that when a politician or a big-name preacher or someone else in a power position in society has a big fall, think John Edwards, Jerry Sandusky, or Jim and Tammy Baker, that's when he knows that their life is finally beginning in a whole new way. Because finally, there's a chance that the facade they have created as their public persona will fall apart. Only once they are forced to admit their brokenness can they finally begin to understand the depth of God's love for them. It's hard to accept, but awareness of our brokenness is most often the very thing that brings us to a deeper, more genuine relationship with God. Because without that awareness, we think that God and other people love us because of what we do. We think love is something we have to earn. Tonight is the night we set aside that lie once and for all. You will all become deserters because of me. It's not that the disciples couldn't help it. It's what had to happen so that they would know and we would know that it's not possible to earn God's love. That is not how it works in God's house. In God's house, the bread and the wine are passed around to everyone. Everyone. The know-it-all, the perfectionist, the performer, the deserter, the betrayer, the non-believer, the murderer. In God's house, Jesus kneels down and washes everyone's feet, no matter what they've done or will do. And then he stands up and commands us to love one another in just that way. In order for Jesus to go to the cross, his closest friends had to abandon him. And if they hadn't, if even one of them had stuck with him to the end, imagine what that would do to us. We would think that by sheer willpower, we must overcome our sin and stick with Jesus right to the end like that one perfect disciple. Instead, Jesus offers his disciples then and now this gift. All of you will become deserters because of me. Not because of how bad we are, but because of how good Jesus is. Because this is the way God has chosen to take all that brokenness and suffering and pain and death in the world and transform it into something whole and alive and beautiful. We are all deserters. But thankfully, that is not the end of the story. After I am raised up, Jesus says, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. In other words, your inability to stay with me, your brokenness is not the last word. You don't get the last word. God does. And the last word is love. Love which does not cover our sin, but gathers it together and piles it up higher and higher and places the cross right on top, turning Jesus' terrible death into the very thing which enables God to whisper into all our ears, no matter how broken we are, you are my precious child. You belong to me. The last word tonight, tomorrow, and every day to come is love. Amen.